very much. Brings back a lot of memories standing here. It's been a while, actually. A long while. I did grow up in this church till I was 8, and then we moved. My father accepted a call to go to seminary. When I was 8, we moved to Texas. And I think I came back at some point in the 90s, and that was about it. So it's been a while since I've been here. But I'm very thankful to be here, and I'm very thankful for you. I thank you for your support through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, through Cooperative Program. I know missionaries in Europe who have to raise their own support. And in Europe, it's especially hard to do that, which means they're here in the States about 2 to 3 years for every 1 year that they spend on the field. That's not a very good ratio. Because I can tell you that building relationships is the foundation for missions. You have to build relationships. And if you're spending 2/3 of your time away from that target group, you can't build relationships with those people. So I thank you. Thank you for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the Cooperative Program. More importantly, I thank you for your prayers. It is extremely important that you pray for the missionaries. People say we're real-life missionaries. It's better than fake dead missionaries. But we're real-life missionaries. As you know, you have a pastor who's one. We struggle just like you do. We are people just like you. We're not perfect, obviously. But what I wanted to speak to you about a little bit today was a struggle that I went through just before we came back stateside. And when I say I went through it, my family also went through it. You see, a month before we moved, and think about everything that entails moving. Have any of you ever moved? Think of all that entails. About a month before we moved, I was diagnosed with melanoma. Right here. I got a wonderful scar. I'm still thinking of a pretty good story for it, but I've got a wonderful scar here to show where it was. Now, I am clean now. It's gone. But I had to have it removed a month before we moved, and then I had to go back in 2 weeks later to have another square centimeter taken out where it was. So I had two excisions here. When you are moving and sorting through everything and trying to figure out, okay, what do we want to take back to the States with us for a year that will also fit in the suitcases that we're allotted, 50 pounds per suitcase. Thankfully, we were allotted 8 suitcases. It becomes a little bit of a struggle. Then you add a health issue. Then we started getting financial issues, because when you're leaving a country, you know, utilities and things like that, they want their money up front because it's kind of hard for them to collect when a person is in a different country, and they know that. So we had to pay everything up front before we left the country. So we're looking at a little bit of financial crunch. We're looking at a lot of stress with the moving and packing, and I'm looking now at my own mortality. I had been watching this little mole on my face, and it grew a little bit. I was going to wait till we came back to the States to get it checked out. My wife, Carrie, said, no, you need to go get that checked now. I said, well, I'll just wait till the States. And she looked me in the eyes, and she said, you're going to go get it checked out right now. I think my wife may be a little bit of a Jedi mind trick. I'll go get it checked out now. So I went in and had it checked out. Sit down, and the doctor looks at it. He says, oh, that's bad. That's really, really bad. This is horrible. Great bedside manner. He said, are you ready to have it taken out right now? I was like right now, right now? No appointment or anything? He said, right now. Sure. That was a shock. Not in the gut. And you know, you're sitting there going, okay. Not like I needed a little more stress. And we were starting to take some hits. Now remember, this is still like 3 to 4 weeks at this point. I'd already had my surgery. Still trying to pack. Of course, I'm down now because this hurts. I'm down for a little bit. I'm not up to 100%. We're still dealing with the finances. We're still dealing with people. We're still trying to build our ministry up to a point that we can actually leave it. Now, it is God's ministry. It's still going great. But I'm starting to feel this pressure, and it's starting to drag me down, and it's starting to really, really get on my nerves. And if I had gone to a counselor at that point, he probably would have diagnosed me as depressive. Because it was that bad. I was feeling it. And one morning, I was crying out to God. I was like, you know, I'm over here, I'm serving you, I'm doing everything you've asked me to do, and all of this stuff is on my shoulders and pushing me down, and I'm getting hit from every side. What in the world is going on here? Now, if I thought about it, I'd know what was going on. But like I said, I'm right here in the midst of things, and I'm not thinking too clearly. And God took me to a passage. He took me to a passage in Isaiah 43. It's actually where we're reading today. So if you would take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 43, starting in verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, basically His people, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Is that a comfort? That's a huge comfort. Here is the God of the universe telling little old me, who is bemoaning my situation in life, that I have called you by name. When you walk through the waters, not if, by the way, when you walk through the waters, they will not overtake you. When you go through the river, again, not if, when you go through the river, it will not sweep you away. When you go through the fire, again, not if, when, it will not set you ablaze. It will not consume you, because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That was a huge relief to me. Now, I don't know. Some of you may be experiencing difficult times. You ever have one of those days where everything just sits there and you think Murphy is your next door neighbor on both sides and maybe actually living in your house with you? We have those days. Sometimes we have those weeks. Sometimes we have those months and sometimes the years. What we need to remember is that God is walking beside us through these valleys. One of the other things that God showed me through this passage is there's some striking similarities to another passage in Psalm. I've called you by name. Does that sound like a shepherd with his sheep? Even though you walk through this valley, through these shadows, through these bad times, nothing will hurt you, for I am with you. I've spent the last 10 years, almost 10 years, teaching leadership from John 10, the Good Shepherd, and Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And I had forgotten. When it came right down to me personally, I had forgotten something. I'm his sheep. Now, sheep are not the smartest critters out there. As a matter of fact, sheep are pretty dumb. I can attest to it. I'm one. But God calls me his sheep. That's not a sheep, some sheep out there somewhere. God calls me his sheep. And he calls me by name. And he promises me, and he promises you, that he will walk with you through those valleys. What's that verse? Even though you lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He leads me. That means he's walking before me. He's the one who brought me to this point. Why would he bring me through all these difficulties? Why would he bring me through such turmoil, such heartache? To show his power. To show me who he really is. Did I learn something from God that day? Yeah, I did. Did I learn something about God that day? Oh yeah, I did. It was one of those deals where I knew it up here. I knew it in my head, but I had lost it in my heart. I had forgotten it in my heart. And God reminded me that, no, I'm with you even through these rough times, even through these difficult times, even when you feel like everybody is against you, I'm still there. I'm still with you. I'm leading you. I'm taking care of you. I'm bringing you to a field with green grass. Lie down in that green grass. Now here's the sheep's perspective. The sheep is going along and they're looking down at the grass, right? And they're walking along and they stop. And they're looking at this one blade of brown grass. In a field of green. It's one blade of brown grass. And they're looking at this one blade of brown grass going, bah, it's brown. That was me. I'm sitting here going, oh, this is bad. I've got cancer. I've got this. I've got all these things I've got to do. These people are not happy with me. These people are not happy with me. Oh, my goodness, I've got all these things. Bah, this is brown. And God's sitting there going, lift up your head, look around you. It's green. Yes, there's a blade of brown grass there. The rest is green. Look around. That's my shepherd. That's your shepherd. I had allowed the circumstances to become so large in my vision that I had blocked out everything good that God was doing around me. 3 years ago, we moved to Nuremberg. Before that, we were in the Hochsauerland. Hochsauerland was gorgeous, gorgeous. North Georgia mountains, gorgeous, with snow, skiing, gorgeous, okay? We moved to Nuremberg, urban, gray. Now, it would have been easy for us to sit there and go, yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. We're going to Nuremberg. But Nuremberg is pretty too. Nuremberg is an area, well, a town that was rebuilt. We leveled it. I mean, we leveled it in World War II. Then we came in and rebuilt it stone for stone. They have their original medieval wall around the town. They have a beautiful Christmas market. It's probably the best in the world. As a matter of fact, They're bringing their Christmas market here to Atlanta this year. It's at the Central Park Station or something like that. Anyway, they're bringing that Christmas market to Atlanta this year. Nuremberg is gorgeous. We could have said, oh, wow, everything's gray, but it's not. We started looking around to see where God was at work there, and we saw where God was working. He was working in the lives of two people I want to tell you about right now. One of them is Max. Now, Max was the bass guitarist for a heavy metal band. He was an atheist. He was way out there. Way out there. He came to Christ and had a million and one questions. And our pastor of the German Baptist Church said, Wendell, I've got a perfect person for you to deal with, to disciple. So he introduced me to Max. I don't mind answering questions. I don't mind when people have a million questions. So I started discipling Max. Max was a new believer, but he had a fire. He wanted everybody to know this Christ who changed his life so radically. Daniel was his coworker. Now Daniel is, well, not coworker. He worked across the hall from him. Daniel saw him one day and said, hey, Lenny. Now Lenny was his stage name. And Max stopped and said, I'm not Lenny anymore. Daniel says, well, what do you mean? He said, I found Christ. And I'm no longer that person that you saw on stage. I'm a brand new person. Now, Daniel needs some explanation. Daniel has an 8-inch mohawk. He has piercings all over his face and ears. He's got spears through his ears. He's got tattoos everywhere. Now, sometimes he lays his mohawk over, and he doesn't look too out there. But sometimes he leaves that mohawk straight up, baby. And he works in a kiosk that does adventure vacations. You want to go skydiving? You see Daniel. You want to go scuba diving? You go see Daniel. You want bungee jumping? Go see Daniel. He also got on fire. He came to Christ. And he came to realize that everybody needs Christ. So people come up to his little kiosk, right smack dab in the middle of a very busy mall, wanting a vacation package to go bungee jump. And they get the vacation package and they get a testimony from him. And he would come in for stories of two girls who were sitting there trying to figure out which one they wanted. And he tells them about Christ and how Christ changed his life and how Christ is his Lord now. And they look at him and go, you? And he goes, yeah, me. Let me explain to you how you can have this also. God was at work there. If I had been looking at Nuremberg as, well, I'm no longer in the Hogsauer land where it was beautiful. You saw some pictures of it, I think. Oh yeah, that's our fun little thing up in the Hogsauer land. But I could have gone to Nuremberg saying, I really don't want to be in a big city. 3.6 million people. I really don't want to be in that city. Because Nuremberg is not, the Nuremberg area is three urban centers, not just one, three. The churches are strong there, though. We worked with German Baptist churches. We actually worked with several different non-denominational churches also. God is at work there, and I could have missed it by my attitude about Nuremberg, and I almost missed it with my attitude about my health and the finances and everything that was going on at the end. Instead, I was able to build up my group of men that I was discipling, Max and Daniel. They are both leading it. They've got other groups that they're leading through experiencing God. I could have missed all that. I could have been so focused all right up to the end on this one brown grass. or this clump of brown grass. Going, bah, it's brown. My shepherd is saying, lift your head up. Look around you. Look around at all that I am doing to give you rest, to give you peace, to allow you to work alongside me to accomplish my will. This is who God is. He is our shepherd. He is your shepherd. I don't know your life situation. God does. I don't know what you're going through. God does. I would encourage you to lift your head up and ask Him to show you your life from His perspective. Because that's what's important. It's not my perspective that matters. It's not JB's perspective that matters. It's not anyone's perspective that matters except God's perspective. That even trumps my own perspective on my own life. His perspective is more important than my own perspective because, quite honestly, my perspective is a little skewed. My perspective is such that I can sit there with all the good things going on and focus on three or four really bad things that are going on and going, oh, this is bad. And my shepherd's going, not from my perspective. My perspective is a little different. And my perspective is the one that matters. That's what my shepherd is saying. That's what your shepherd is saying to you. Our situations, our circumstances, are in God's hands. He leads us through these valleys sometimes so that we can get to these green pastures, so that we can get to these still waters, so that we can get to the place where He restores our souls. Our circumstances are a little drop in the bucket. Think about the worst circumstance that you have experienced, and then think about it 10 years down the road. Is it still a big circumstance? Is it still a bad thing? Still a horrible thing? It might be. The pain has faded, which it does. God has grown you, which He does. It doesn't mean that life will be easy. We were never promised an easy life. We were promised an abundant life if we do what God tells us to do. We were promised everlasting life if we've accepted Him as Christ, as Lord and Savior of our life. Lord being the key. I would encourage you to ask God to show you your life from His perspective. And then look up. Look at all the things that God is doing around you. Look at how rich the fields are for harvest. These passages that JB read at the start, well, just before I came up here, are true passages. God wants to see every nation, every tribe, every tongue singing His praise. The only way they're going to do that is through us, collectively. We're really all missionaries. We have all been set aside for a purpose, set aside for His purpose, to be witnesses of what God has done to us, for us. As you think about and pray about what God is doing around you. Be mindful of the people around you, because I can guarantee you he's working in the lives around you. I can guarantee that. I would have missed some of what God was doing in Max's and Daniel's life if I had been focused on me for as long as I could have been. I could have used those 4 weeks and just had a little pity party. But instead, God lifted my head up to see where he was at work. And I was able to help these two men get their groups really started. And they're still going. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll turn it back over to JB. Father, I thank you that you are our good shepherd, that you have called us by name to work with you, to be in your presence, to love you and serve you. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that you have given each of us to know you through your Son. Show us our lives through your eyes. Help us to have the perspective that comes only from you of whatever it is that we are facing. Lord, I thank you for the love that you show us. Guide us in your mercy and your grace. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.